You see the problem, said Lupin. While the Ministry insists there is nothing to fear from Voldemort, it's hard to convince people he's back, especially as they really don't want to believe it in the first place. What's more, the Ministry is leaning heavily on the Daily Prophet not to report any of what they're calling Dumbledore's rumour-mongering. So most of the wizarding community are completely unaware anything's happened, and that makes them easy targets for the Death Eaters if they're using the Imperious Curse. But you're telling people, aren't you? Said Harry, looking around at Mr. Weasley, Sirius, Bill, Mundungus, Lupin and Tonks. You're letting people know he's back. They all smiled humorlessly. Well, as everyone thinks I'm a mad mass murderer, and the Ministry's put a 10,000 galleon price on my head, I can hardly stroll up the street and start handing out leaflets, can I? Said Sirius restlessly. And I'm not a very popular dinner guest with most of the community, said Lupin. It's an occupational hazard of being a werewolf. Tonks and Arthur would lose their jobs at the Ministry if they started shooting their mouths off, said Sirius. And it's very important for us to have spies inside the Ministry, because you can bet Voldemort will have them. We've managed to convince a couple of people, though, said Mr. Weasley. Tonks here for one. She's too young to have been in the Order of the Phoenix last time, and having Aurors on our side is a huge advantage. Kingsley Shacklebolt's been a real asset, too. He's in charge of the hunt for Sirius, so he's been feeding the Ministry information that Sirius is in Tibet. But if none of you's putting the news out that Voldemort's back, Harry began. Who said none of us was putting the news out? Said Sirius. Why do you think Dumbledore's in such trouble? What do you mean? Harry asked.
They're trying to discredit him, said Lupin. Didn't you see the Daily Prophet last week? They reported that he'd been voted out of the chairmanship of the International Confederation of Wizards because he's getting old and losing his grip. But it's not true. He was voted out by Ministry Wizards after he made a speech announcing Voldemort's return. They've demoted him from Chief Warlock on the Wizengamot, that's the Wizard High Court, and they're talking about taking away his Order of Merlin First Class, too.
But Dumbledore says he doesn't care what they do as long as they don't take him off the chocolate frog cards, said Bill, grinning. It's no laughing matter, said Mr. Weasley shortly. If he carries on defying the Ministry like this, he could end up in Azkaban, and the last thing we want is Dumbledore locked up. While you-know-who knows Dumbledore's out there and wise to what he's up to, he's going to go cautiously for a while. If Dumbledore's out of the way, well, you-know-who will have a clear field. But if Voldemort's trying to recruit more Death Eaters, it's bound to get out that he's come back, isn't it? Asked Harry desperately. Voldemort doesn't march up to people's houses and bang on their front doors, Harry, said Sirius. He tricks, jinxes, and blackmails them. He's well practiced at operating in secrecy. In any case, gathering followers is only one thing he's interested in. He's got other plans, too. Plans he can put into operation very quietly indeed, and he's concentrating on them at the moment. What's he after apart from followers? Harry asked swiftly. He thought he saw Sirius and Lupin exchange the most fleeting of looks before Sirius said, "Stuff he can only get by stealth." When Harry continued to look puzzled, Sirius said, "Like a weapon, something he didn't have last time."
"When he was powerful before?"
"Yes."
"Like what kind of weapon?" said Harry.
"Something worse than the Avada Kedavra." "That's enough."
Mrs. Weasley spoke from the shadows beside the door. Harry had not noticed her return from taking Ginny upstairs. Her arms were crossed, and she looked furious.
"I want you in bed now, all of you," she added, looking around at Fred, George, Ron, and Hermione. "You can't boss us," Fred began. "Watch me," snarled Mrs. Weasley. She was trembling slightly as she looked at Sirius. "You've given Harry plenty of information. Any more, and you might just as well induct him into the Order straight away." "Why not?" said Harry quickly. "I'll join. I want to join. I want to fight."
"No."
It was not Mrs. Weasley who spoke this time, but Lupin.
"The Order is comprised only of overage wizards," he said. "Wizards who have left school," he added, as Fred and George opened their mouths. "There are dangers involved of which you can have no idea, any of you. I think Molly's right, Sirius. We've said enough."
Sirius half shrugged but did not argue. Mrs. Weasley beckoned imperiously to her sons and Hermione. One by one they stood up, and Harry, recognizing defeat, followed suit.